Garmin debuts its new top-of-the-line portable GPS. Cirrus announces a second round of layoffs. And a lost defense contract triggers 500 layoffs at Bell Helicopter. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, October 31st, 2008. Garmin got a jump on new product announcements ahead of next week's AOPA Expo in San Jose. The company announced its flagship GPS Map 696 yesterday. The 696 is a tablet-sized device that incorporates the popular aviation features of the GPS Map 496, but adds airways, electronic charts, and expanded weather. Its screen is also three times the size of the 496. Garmin VP of Marketing Gary Kelly says the 696 is, quote, our most feature-rich, easy-to-use aviation portable, and it's ideal for those wanting to minimize flipping through paper charts while in the cockpit, unquote. The 7-inch portrait screen makes it possible to view an entire approach plate without scrolling. The high-resolution display is designed for clear readability day or night. A rotary knob joystick, similar to the G1000s, lets pilots enter airport identifiers, pan the map, or scroll to page and subpage groups. Garmin argues the 696's IFR map mode offers better situational awareness than traditional charts because it also subtly displays major visual reference points like rivers, state boundaries, highways, and railroad tracks from Garmin's built-in base map. The GPS Map 696 includes Garmin flight charts, allowing users to quickly find and view all NACO departure procedures, standard terminal arrival routes, approach charts, and airport diagrams. If the current approach is known, the GPS Map 696 automatically selects the correct chart based on flight plan. U.S. customers will appreciate a built-in XM weather receiver. The 696 is Garmin's first portable device with PIREPS and icing forecasts. MSRP for the GPS 696 is $32.95, including yoke mount, GXM 40 antenna, lighter adapter and AC adapter cable, USB cable, GPS antenna, unit cover, free Jeppesen update certificate, owner's manual, and quick reference guide. For users outside the U.S. or who otherwise don't need XM weather, the GPS 695 has that receiver deleted and sells for $26.95. You can see the new product at AOPA Expo or right now on Aero TV. A month ago, slumping sales of piston aircraft led market leader Cirrus Design to lay off about 100 workers. On Tuesday, 105 more pink slips were handed out. WDIO-TV in Duluth reports that 75 of those cuts came at Cirrus's headquarters and main assembly plant. The SR-20 and 22 aircraft families have been top sellers in the category the past 6 years, but sales have fallen about 10% this year, which has led to cutbacks in production at Cirrus. The company recently implemented a 3-day work week, down from 4, and has also slowed development of its SRS light sport aircraft. Work on the Vision SJ-50 single-engine jet continues. The Associated Press reports the latest round of layoffs amounts to about 10% of the company's workforce. Bell Helicopter announced Wednesday it will lay off about 500 workers, about 4% of its workforce, and 20% of management-level staff. Bell says the layoff was triggered by the U.S. Department of Defense's October 16th termination of the ARH-70A helicopter development contract, including the impact of the loss of the planned production contract. In accordance with government regulations, Bell will provide pay and benefits to the affected employees for 60 days following the date of their layoff notice and severance pay in accordance with the standard company policy. Bell says it will provide each employee with post-employment support through the services of an outplacement firm and the Texas Workforce Commission. Following some damaging internal leaks to the press about alleged problems with the Ares 1 rocket, on Wednesday, officials at NASA reiterated their confidence in the design and suggested Ares might even fly sooner than the current target date of 2015. The Associated Press reports Jeff Hanley, manager of the Constellation Manned Space Program, told participants on a conference call, quote, we're shooting for a more aggressive date of September 2014. The real stretch is what we can do to accelerate as much as 18 months. That will be particularly hard, unquote. Regarding a recent report in the Orlando Sentinel suggesting the rocket is especially prone to liftoff drift, which could cause collisions with the launch tower, Ares program manager Steve Cook called the phenomenon manageable. Quote, first of all, launch vehicles experience liftoff drift primarily due to winds at the launch pad. In the very heavy wind conditions that we are designed to, 34 knots, which is significantly higher than what the shuttle uses today, Ares 1 can use its built-in thrust vector controls to steer away from the pad tower. The wind condition that we are concerned about is a southerly wind at 34 knots. In our estimate, that would only happen about 0.3% of the time in any case. So this is another issue that's been taken very much out of context, unquote. Coming up on ANN, has the Machinists Union won a battle but lost a war at Boeing? A British union fights a floating airport to replace Heathrow. And the fight to unionize the new Delta is already starting. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 31st. I'm Paul Plack. While officials of the International Association of Machinists are high-fiving each other over a tentative contract settlement with Boeing, others worry frequent labor disputes are pushing the manufacturer to look for sunnier skies, literally. Teal Group analyst Richard Abulafia tells Reuters, quote, "This is the exact opposite of a partnership between management and labor. Both sides think the worst of each other. Boeing management's way out of it will be to move," unquote. There have been hints dropped for years. Boeing has been based in the Seattle area since 1910, but in 2001 moved its corporate offices to Chicago and came close to building its 787 Dreamliner elsewhere. The state of Washington intervened with tax breaks and the Dreamliner stayed, but Boeing has lost 200 days of production in its Seattle area plants over the past two decades. Even in the short term, the contract agreement isn't all good news for the 27,000 workers who went on strike. Lump sum bonuses to be paid workers under the settlement fall short of covering wages that were lost during the strike. Boeing has not yet said where it will build a replacement for its popular 737, but the company is reportedly being courted by states which outlaw mandatory union membership. Known as right-to-work states, suitors are said to include Alabama, Texas, and the Carolinas. Unite, the largest labor union in the United Kingdom, has called on London Mayor Boris Johnson to, quote, "stop wasting taxpayers' money on consultants looking at plans to create a new airport on an artificially created island in the Thames estuary," unquote. Unite National Officer Brian Boyd has problems with the idea of closing Heathrow to open a new airport on a man-made island. Quote, "There are 172,000 jobs at Heathrow, which has two runways. Does the mayor wish to explain to the Heathrow workers what effect closure will have on their community and where the workforce for a four-runway airport is going to come from?" Unquote. He adds that the Thames estuary is a bird sanctuary, heightening the risk of strikes, subject to tidal and storm surges which can increase sea level by several meters, and near a resort area where the added noise would be unwelcome. The union also points to Japan's Kansai Airport. Quote, "At Kansai, the airport sank over 13 meters into the sea after it was opened 14 years ago, and despite millions being spent on shoring it up, it is still an economic disaster," unquote. Unite has called for building a third runway at Heathrow instead of building the island. The absorption of unionized Northwest Airlines into largely non-union Delta Airlines has drawn a warning shot from the International Association of Machinists. The U.S. Department of Justice approved that merger on Wednesday. The combining of the workforces will mean new votes on union representation. That could either bring the IAM a bunch of new Delta employees as members or cost it the membership of 12,500 groundworkers from the old Northwest. IAM General VP Robert Roach issued a statement Wednesday, which kicked off what is likely to be a rhetoric-filled battle. It said in part, quote, "After 8 years of disastrous economic decisions by the Bush administration, this comes as no surprise. It is another opportunity for executives to stuff their pockets at the expense of working-class Americans." Delta and Northwest management have separately bankrupted their individual airlines. Together, they will have more than $28.8 billion in combined debt and $15.6 billion in unfunded pension liabilities that could be forced onto the American taxpayer if the airline defaults. The Machinists Union will fight to ensure that workers at the combined airline will be protected by the guarantees that can only be found in a union contract. The days when Delta could ride roughshod over their employees is coming to an end. Delta is creating the world's largest airline. The Machinists Union will make it the world's largest unionized airline, unquote. The London Telegraph newspaper has obtained an internal memo from British Airways that suggests things are not going well for the company's new business class startup called Open Skies. Named after the international agreement that reduced barriers to new service between the U.S. and Europe, Open Skies has been running 757s from New York JFK Airport to Paris Orly and Amsterdam. The venture was announced in January and launched with much fanfare in June. Two previous attempts to provide transoceanic business class service, Silverjet and MaxJet, both went bankrupt earlier this year. The internal memo says, quote, at Open Skies, revenues are below target through a combination of lower volumes and yields, and as a priority, we must take actions to ensure we keep within our cash reserves, unquote. Those actions include deferring the delivery of a fifth Boeing 757, configured for all business class seating, that was originally slated for March 2009. A spokesman for British Airways declined to offer financial details, but admitted, quote, like all airlines, Open Skies is facing challenging trading conditions, unquote. Still ahead, United Airlines has a creative new name for nickel and diming. Cessna breaks ground on the Citation Columbus plant. And marketers try to sell vacations in the Chinese Bermuda Triangle. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, October 31st. I'm Paul Plack. The unbundling continues. United Airlines, which charges a hefty premium to take oversized or overweight items on its flights as checked baggage, announced this week it now offers luggage shipping via an overnight courier. United calls it door-to-door baggage service and says it enables customers in the continental U.S. to ship their suitcases or other travel items like skis or golf clubs overnight from a home or office directly to their destination within the 48 contiguous United States. In exchange for the convenience, United will charge $149 one way for flights less than 1,000 miles, or $179 for longer flights. It calls those prices simple and more economical than similar overnight services. While some travel analysts decry what they call the nickel and diming of passengers with added fees, United is choosing to call its new fees the United Travel Options Portfolio and emphasizing the additional customer control over costs. Dennis Carey, Senior VP and Chief Marketing and Customer Officer, also admits, however, quote, while offering customers a new benefit, it also provides United with a new revenue stream that, when combined with our other ancillary revenue and fee initiatives, is expected to generate more than $1 billion in 2009, unquote. I don't know about you, but I usually finish packing my luggage about 10 minutes after I wanted to leave for the airport, so this is probably not for me. If you do plan ahead, you might as well plan ahead a couple extra days and ship your stuff UPS ground. Even FedEx two-day ground will save you lots of money over United Travel Options portfolio rates. And as a bonus, you won't find some TSA baggage checker selling your iPod next week on eBay. The current economic climate is pretty tough for small startup aviation companies. But if you're a giant like Cessna, life goes on. Wednesday, the company broke ground on a $200 million facility in Wichita, Kansas, to produce the company's upcoming ultra-luxury Citation Columbus business jet. The Wichita Business Journal reports that Cessna CEO Jack Pelton believes the investment will pay off in the future when economic trends stabilize. Quote, it's really starting to create the next legacy for Cessna, unquote. Formally unveiled in February, the Citation Columbus will be Cessna's largest, fastest, and longest-range business aircraft when it enters service in 2014. The jet also carries the largest price tag by far for any Cessna airplane, $27 million in 2008 U.S. dollars. Pelton added that Cessna is not immune to the economic slump, but, quote, "The good news is we have a very large backlog," unquote. Cessna is Wichita's largest employer with 12,000 workers. The company has committed to bringing another 1,000 new jobs to the area to assemble the Columbus. Saloy Aviation Solutions says it has received FAA certification for its Saloy 206 Turbine Mark II. If you didn't know, that's a piston Cessna 206H married to a Rolls-Royce 250 B17 F2 turbine. The conversion adds 110 horsepower, a 185-amp electrical system, and reduces basic empty weight by 150 pounds. Company President Dave Stauffer calls the transformed plane the perfect platform for applications ranging from law enforcement to adventurous backcountry operations. Quote, "The lighter turbine allows an operator to add more equipment, such as in a law enforcement application, or allow a pilot who might have only been able to carry additional gear into a remote landing strip or lake to pack in the four people and gear to high altitudes on even hot days. No other aircraft in this class can offer that," unquote. Saloy claims the Mark II can climb at 2,460 feet per minute at sea level, cruise at 20,000 feet at 213 knots true, carry 775 pounds plus full fuel, and has a range of about 550 nautical miles. It also registers just 72.4 dB at takeoff power, satisfying modern noise limits. The upgraded electrical system handles the load of air conditioning, law enforcement equipment and sensors, and increased pilot avionics. The Mark II will initially be offered in four configurations for law enforcement, skydiving, amphibious, and commercial or private operations. You can find out more about the plane in the text version of this story at aero-news.net and see it on display at the Rolls-Royce booth during AOPA Expo next week in San Jose, California. And finally, popular beaches, pristine waters, China's Penghu Islands seem like a perfect spot to build a casino resort. But the Associated Press reports officials in the region are fighting a history of aviation accidents, which has prompted comparisons to the Bermuda Triangle. A two-seat Taiwanese fighter jet was the latest plane to disappear last week during a training exercise over the Taiwan Strait. Debris and human remains were found the next day, but authorities can't explain what happened. A Taiwanese newspaper made much of the fact that 300 people have gone dead or missing near the Penghus in the past 40 years. A mythology of magnetic irregularities in the area has been debunked by experts. More plausible hypotheses suggest increasing traffic or simply the inherently risky nature of military training flights. But the reputation of the Penghu Islands predates aviation. The very first settlers were Chinese sailors who wound up on the islands after they were shipwrecked. South of Penghu, an area called the Ditch of Black Waters covers the wrecks of many boats dating to the height of Chinese immigration to Taiwan two or three centuries ago. Today, 90,000 people call the island chain home. Large modern ships navigate the area in safety. The beaches are popular in summer, and the windsurfing season is set to begin now. Tourism officials are hoping the creepy legends don't stunt development, just as mainland China appears set to loosen travel restrictions. Maybe they just need a novel marketing twist. After all, we're in the season now when long lines wait outside haunted house attractions, paying perfectly good money to be scared on purpose. Maybe Chinese tourism officials could even adapt one of the most effective tourism slogans of all time. It was recently abandoned by Las Vegas. How does this sound? What travels to Penghu stays in Penghu. Nah, what am I thinking? It wouldn't be ethical to just copy something. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, you can hear the conclusion of my conversation with Clyde Morris cartoonist Wes Olszewski. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Don't eat too much candy, and have a clear and unlimited day.